Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
MG, a special finals edition podcast that we're putting out off the back of week one finals, where it was some results we expected, but then there are a couple that I don't think anyone saw coming.
You're not wrong, Liam. I think if we start with Friday night's game, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs.
It makes sense that we would start with the first final.
Yeah, let's start with that. That was great to be at the SCG. We were out there for cover. We did the Rush Hour for an hour with Gerds. Thanks, Gerds, for coming along. And then straight into the footy. Look, this was pretty predictable, this game. The Roosters started on fire. I think they were out to a 24-point zip lead at one stage at halftime, and then they basically took their foot off the pedal and conserved energy. And one worrying thing, I suppose, one worrying point, if you want to look and be kind of, you know, really cryptic, you know, South won the second half, 6-4. But I think the damage has been done, and I think Trent Robinson was saying, whoa, boys, we've got bigger fish to fry.
It'd be cold comfort for the Bunnies and their players and their fans and everyone involved that they won the second half. But 30-6 was the final scoreline. The Rabbitohs, all the talk in the lead-up was that they'd won both regular season fixtures against the Roosters. You reckon Trent Robinson, Cooper Cronk, Luke Keary, all these experienced players were just thinking, yeah, no worries, you can have the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
This is where we do our work.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And, you know, while everyone keeps talking about Latrell Mitchell as the best centre in the game, well, I think at the moment the bloke on the right-hand side of him is the best centre in the game, Joseph Manu.
Well, didn't he have an absolutely outstanding game?
He does every week, mate. You know, and Luke Keary, his inclusion was sublime. He had a hand in two or three of the tries. And the good thing about that, you know, with the Roosters is they're both alpha males, himself and Cooper Cronk. But Cooper Cronk knows exactly when to take a back seat, which is rare in a rugby league team. You know, it's when you've got two playmakers, they both get anxious, but Cooper Cronk's had his time in the sun. He's going, okay, boy, here's the keys. You drive us home.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that in last year's grand final where Cooper was basically, he didn't deliver Luke Keary the Clive Churchill medal, but Luke Keary earned that medal, but because Cooper Cronk played the role he did with the injury he had, Luke Keary had the chance to shine. And the other thing I took out of the game, not only just the sheer dominance of the Roosters players, but Jared Warrior-Hargraves, the fact that he got off his, a trip to the NRL judiciary, compared with the fact that Sam Burgess wasn't out there, you know, you saw one team with its big, dominant, fearful enforcer and the other team without it.
And who was the best player after 20 minutes? Hargraves. It was like he took his second chance and said, well, I'm going to run with this. And he was. He was fantastic, as was Tucky Ahau, who's been out a bit. Roosters' domination. Now they get back and they have a week off and rest.
They get a week off, which they'll enjoy. I think Wayne Bennett, I mean, he never gives away anything. You'd be doing well to read his poker face, but he would be worried. Behind those wrinkles and behind those years, there'd be some concern.
Yeah, no doubt. I think Sam Burgess being back is going to be great, but, you know, you're playing against the Manly team on the weekend who was ravenous against the Sharks.
We'll get to them in a moment.
Their outside backs are a worry for mine. I think their forward pack, you know, with Cameron Murray and Damien Cook, they've got some ensemble that can help them with that, but they've got the halves, but it's the outside backs that worry me. I think Campbell Graham's got to go back on the wing. Alex Johnson, maybe. I'd put Dewey back the fullback. I think he's got more creativity in his game. And when they came back the week before against the Roosters, it was Adam Dewey.
Dewey playing at fullback.
Yeah. So, and he kind of didn't even touch the ball in the weekend on the wing. So I feel sorry for the guy if he gets dropped from this game.
Yeah, that was the first game of the finals. And we're about to get to the other three, but you would expect MG... Roosters should be far and away the bookies' favourites throughout this rest of the finals, almost irregardless of what happens from now.
I didn't think we'd see a back-to-back premier, not for a long time. I didn't think we'd ever see it again. Such is the nature of the beast in this competition and how hard it is to go back-to-back. But that's why it hasn't been done since 92 and 93 with the Broncos. But this team is looking like the team to do it. And I dare say that they'll start. I think they're paying $2 to win the comp. And that's probably... That's a good price at the moment because they're there with a week off. Hargraves, if he gets ruled out of the prelim final, that's you know, that's probably a big loss because they're going to look like they're going to be playing either Melbourne or Eels, who will be coming off a big win.
What's your take? Should he go?
Look, I think it was reflex. You know, it's, again, because of the carryover points, you look at that incident in isolation. No, I don't think he gets, I don't think you lose a, you're suspended for a prelim final for that. I've seen a lot worse.
I also think you should almost get a 50% discount once you get to this. Your carryover points should receive a 50% discount for finals because it's a step up. In the same way that Origin is refereed differently, finals are the same.
Yeah, I agree. I look, it's, everyone was saying that about the hair pull with Sam Burgess. How can somebody miss a semi-final being, you know, getting your hair pulled? Well, it wasn't so much the hair pull. It was exactly the loading points that stuffed him up. So, let's watch his space.
Let's move along to the second game of the first week of finals, where this is the upset that nobody saw coming. You talk about the Roosters being the favourites, but this Raiders team is surely the romance story of this finals. It is. The Green Machine dream is alive.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more, but I do think people did predict it. There was, I think Gerds did on Friday night. He predicted that the Raiders would beat Melbourne with a few other pundits, merely for the fact that I think that they thought, well, a couple of weeks ago down there they did it, and they've rested a few players against the Warriors, maybe to put Melbourne into a false sense of security, who knows. But then players who all came back into the game, wow, they were fantastic. And
12-10, the final scoreline.
Well, Melbourne had a chance to wrap this up, Liam, and everyone's you know, up in the air about Vunivalu and, you know, should have had another chance. Well, don't drop the ball at Okar the Fox. Come on, Foxy boy. That's not like you. You're an Origin. You should have got that ball under your wing and just held on tight. And if you do, you win.
It sets up. I mean, there's so many permutations, as you love to call them, MG, from this game. It now rules out the possibility of a Storm Roosters grand final, which many expected would be the what we'd be seeing in the final match of the year. But the Raiders, I mean, again, this Bateman bloke, who you have been, you've been on the bandwagon, you've been his number one fan from round one, again, just shows his worth to Ricky Stewart and proves what a masterstroke it was getting him to the club.
Yeah, you're right about the competition being flipped up on its head. Now the Storm can't play the Roosters in the grand final. And Bateman, well, Ricky kind of has reinvented himself as a coach. Just when you thought that he tried everything and he's, you know, went down every avenue to, and Canberra's a hard place to sell for potential clients, i.e. James Tedesco, who was signed, sealed and delivered to go there, but had a change of mind from the Tigers, and probably lucky for him he did, because he's, you know, he's making hay while the sun shines at the Roosters. But he found a back door, and the back door's been England. The way he's been, he thought about, I don't know what made him think about it, probably Hodgson's, how good Hodgson was playing over here. Then he all of a sudden, Whitehead's come, Bateman's come, Sutton's come. He's got a halfback coming next year as well. Bravo, Ricky Stewart. I'm down, as you mentioned, as we mentioned earlier, I'm down here in Canberra for this week, and the Raiders, the town's gone green. It looks like the Hulk's been everywhere. It's, they're in raptures. It's been a while since, 1994, since they've won a comp. So, you look, the Raiders, they had a dream, boys, because that win against the Melbourne Storm down there, the second in a month, is what grand finals are won on.
Yeah, and it sets them up. They get a week off now as well. We've got to talk about the Joey Leilua situation. Have you ever seen something like this where a player is ruled out because of bloody fireworks?
How bizarre.
Just, and then you got to tip your cap to the youngster, Bailey Simonson, who came into the side once Leilua was ruled out. He scored a try. He filled in, replaced Kotrick late in the game as well. You know, he just played his role beautifully, and he'd probably say it wasn't the ideal preparation, but he didn't have to think about it too much.
That's the key. You mentioned that, you know, that's the thing. When you're on the bench, and I spent my last season at Penrith on the bench, it's not so much waiting to get on. It's all the nervous energy that you kind of chew up while you're thinking, what am I going to do when I get on? And all of a sudden, if you get on when you're not supposed to, it's, you go, I thought I wasn't getting on, you know, coming on to a 20th minute mark. That's what usually assistant coaches who are in charge of the bench have it worked out for the coach. So it's already preconceived. So, you know, before the game in my last year, the assistant coach would say, MG, you're coming on after 18 minutes to replace such and such. And then if I come on, then if it, after 4 minutes I was on, I was going, oh, wow, that felt better. So Simonson on the weekend, as you mentioned, didn't have time to think about what he had to do, and he was one of their better players. It was fantastic. So Raiders, Storm, I thought Munster was very quiet in such a big game. I don't know about this, they don't seem to be able to score tries with Jerome Hughes at halfback. I think Brody Croft's got to be brought back into the team. And
it was a shock that he's been left out of the team late.
I just think that it's kind of Pappenhausen's form has been irresistible, and you've got to find a spot for a bloke like that. But now's the time. Now's the time to put all that, all that risk away and play with a team that you know is going to get you the job. There's nothing wrong with having Pappenhausen on the bench and bring him on after 20 minutes for a bit of an injection and put him even in the back row as Ponga was in Origin, just get him to run. But I think they've got to go back to Hughes at fullback and Brody Croft at half because he's more of a playmaker.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating. Both those sides that lost the first two games, the two master coaches, Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett, and you know that they've got schemes and plots and plans ready in place to keep their teams, to avoid them going out in straight sets. The teams that are eliminated, the Broncos, we'll get to them shortly, but the Sharkies, they went down. The Seagulls are just too good. And it probably encapsulated the Sharks season where favourites going into the game, mainly due to the absence of Tom Trbojevic at fullback for Manly. But the Sharks just so inconsistent throughout the year. The inability to have their best team on the park for most of this season due to injuries and the rest of it. And I think, they probably just tried to flick the switch one too many times.
Look, no one gave Manly a chance. Manly were, they were down and out and player after player. Tapau was out. We called this game with me, Maroon and Mark Carroll at Brookvale Oval. And I, even in the warm-ups, you could see Manly had a bit of a spring in their step. And look, you can't help but be complacent when you're at a team playing against a side that you know are so depleted. Mm. And I know the Sharks, in the back of their mind, they would have had this record that's abysmal as well, going over the bridge to Brookvale. But the performance they dished in wasn't good enough. Yeah. Manly come out of the blocks on fire. Fanua Blake, man, how much improved is this guy? I hope he's a Blue, an Origin player, because I think he's going to... I think he's got Origin written all over him if he decides to play State of Origin. He's just one of them players that would embrace it. And look, all the young blokes, all the young ensemble who kind of are the bit players in Manly stood up. First gamers, second gamers. Lloyd Perrott hasn't played first grade all year. The last 2 weeks he plays and doesn't let his coach down. The thing is, he's the Messiah. Desi Hasler is the Messiah, and they do anything they want, anything that he tells them to do to win a football game. And then the Sharks went out. And I don't think many people thought they'd get beat.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the names that Manly are without or were without on the weekend. No Marty Tapau, we know about Tom Trbojevic, Joel Thompson, Curtis Sirenin. That is four of the first picked in that Manly side.
Oh, yeah.
And they still got the job done. Paul Gallen's career comes to an end. I mean, it's a silver lining that they got to the finals and extended it by 1 week, but if you look at the career as a whole rather than just at his final performance. I mean, just one of the greats to have ever pulled on a jumper, not only for the Sharks, but for New South Wales, Australia. It's been a remarkable career for Gal.
Hear, hear. Mate, Gal's been an ornament to the game. He's didn't deserve to go that way. The Raiders the week before, you saw him forlorn on the... No, it was 2 weeks ago because they beat the Tigers last week. We all thought they were back. That's right. So, yeah, look, Gal... Yeah, that's a bad way to go out of your of 18 years of tough footy that he played. Yeah. He'll be remembered. He'll be he'll be in the Hall of Fame before we know it. Mm. But Manly lived the fight another day, and I'm not going to say that they can't beat the Rabbitohs this weekend.
Oh yeah, really scary proposition. And again, that man who's driving the bus, Des Hasler. I talked about your love of John Bateman. You said week one. You said Des Hasler is the coach that people need to be wary of, and he's been your tip for Coach of the Year because of what he's managed to do with a list that Trent Barrett couldn't do anything with last year.
Well, they come 15th last year. So the Coach of the Year this year has got to be either him or Brad Arthur.
Yeah,
Brad Arthur's, they had a wooden spoon. So it's starts and stops with them. Ricky Stewart's got to be included in that conversation for what he's done with the Raiders, especially if they get to the grand final, which it looks like, you know, all in all sincerity, they might.
There's a part of me that thinks the coach of the year should almost be the premiership coach. Well, like just to remove ambiguity from it and make it clear cut.
It's kind of like giving the Clive Churchill medal to a player in the losing team.
Yeah.
If he played so well, wouldn't they win?
Right. Yeah. look, and season over for the Sharkies. Manly, as you say, they live to fight another day. They'll take on the Rabbitohs this weekend. Yesterday's game, though, time of recording. You like the Eels heading into the game? Eels taking on Broncos.
Yeah, I like the Eels, but I didn't think they'd get beat. I didn't know we'd win 58-0.
We know that it's a fortress, Bankwest Stadium, but I don't know what is a level above a fortress. But whatever that is what Bankwest Stadium has become for this Parramatta side. They just... They are so fast and they are so potent in attack.
Yeah.
Mike Acevo, I mean, God, his story is so remarkable. But Mitchell Moses, they were just tens out of tens and ticks across the board.
And that's the that's kind of the $64,000 question: is that a good preparation going to Melbourne? When are you battle hardened, beating a team 58-0, or are you on top of the ground? So I don't know. If you ask me which situation would you like to be in, Melbourne's or Eels, I'd probably lean towards the Eels because they're playing with such confidence.
Mm.
Where the Storm have been beaten by the Raiders twice in the last month, they're looking a little bit shaky. But then you've got Bellamy as their coach, who will make sure it's once bitten, twice shy, it won't happen again. So. This game on Saturday night between the Eels and Melbourne, wow. It's fantastic.
And there's a bloke by the name of Cam Smith as well who's still running around for the Storm.
Yep,
they will not be allowed the same sort of freedom in attack that they got against the Broncos, against the Melbourne Storm.
No, and that was the Broncos' lowest ever moment. They've been in the competition since 1988. They've been an ornament to the game as far as what they've done as far in Queensland footy, but there's got to be an inquiry.
Hmm.
There's got to be an investigation, as Jeff Tuvey would say. And that was, I've got no words for it. I can't believe that
the
ex-Bronco players must be, you know, pulling out what hair they got left. That's a performance that, we said a few weeks ago, last week, about Newcastle Knights, don't pay them for their performance against Panthers. Well, take 6 months payoff for the Broncos for that. That was abysmal.
And Anthony Seibold said as much in his post-match press conference where they need to look at their roster. They need to look at their list.
Well, he's got to look himself. Seib's got to look at himself as well.
Oh, and I'm sure he will.
You can't win a comp without a 6 or a 7.
Yeah, no.
You can't even make the 8.
And
they did well to get there where they did.
Yeah, no, look, and I think Anthony Seibold, you know, he's a very up-and-down bloke and he has been pretty honest in his summations of everything. And it's his, let's not forget it's his first year in charge of this club.
Yeah, so he's asking questions about
recruitment. He will not have been able to make that team his team yet.
No,
that's not something you do in one season.
No, that's true.
Look, he's got a great young forward pack, which you're a huge fan of, but it'll take time for him to make the rest of the team his own. Which leaves us, MG, with the Roosters and the Raiders having a week off. We've got the Eels who'll travel down to Melbourne to take on Cam Smith and the Melbourne Storm Saturday night. Friday night game where the Bunnies taking on... the Seagulls. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, week two of finals football. Oh, yeah.